This is the Tech Gaming Podcast, episode 9-5. I am your host, Eric, call it a radio name, Blue, a.k.a. Blue Swim. And joining me is the Ted DiBiase to my IRS, Mr. Robert Desert Eagle Allen.
Time to throw down the go to sleep. That's not to the listeners, by the way.
And giggling in the background is our own superhero, Rocking the Hawk, Sage Samurage, Morris Green.
Hello, happy solstice as well to anyone who's atheist or doesn't celebrate anything.
Atheists celebrate the solstice?
Well, right, that's why I'm saying happy solstice.
Okay. You mean the Pontiac thing? The car?
No! the winter solstice.
Thank not God for that car.
And that voice you hear is our storyteller, Mr. Sean Nola Kirkland.
And do I have one?
It involves a police report. What happened?
It does. So we're starting a little bit late today because I was late. I was on the train. I got on the train, and for anybody who's been, I guess on any train really, when you walk in the door, to the right, there's like this one little fold-out chair, and then to the left are all the, you know, the rest of the car. So there's a homeless dude sitting in that fold-out chair and a guy standing in front of him. And then to my left, there was this family. And I was standing up because I had a package and I wanted to take up a seat because it was crowded. And it was like the family, the mom was like, I can't believe you brought us here. That man is obviously homeless. And the dad's like, oh, it doesn't matter. You know, this is public transportation. Everybody uses it. It's perfectly safe. And then like right on cue, the dude standing up was like, what you fucking talk about, man? I'm a blood. And he just socks the homeless guy in the face, like, boom, boom, boom.
Oh, my God.
Like, right in front of this little girl. And the little girl's, like, freaking out and crying. And then the homeless guy starts crying. And he's, like, his face is all fucked up. And the guy just bolts to the other end of the car. And then, like, when we get to the next stop, you know, the lady's like, let's just take a cab there, blah, blah, blah. I guess they're going to a Kings game. They got off the train, and I guess they called a cab. And then the homeless guy just stayed put, and he's like right next to me, right? And the blood guy was on the other end of the car, kind of giving him the I'm watching you eyes the entire way. So it's the holidays, right? And there's usually, you know, three or four sheriff's deputies at every single stop during the holidays. So every stop we got to, I would like stick my head out. Nothing. Stuck my head out. Nothing. So eventually I just texted the sheriff's office because they have the number everywhere. And I was like, hey, you know, there was an assault on car, you know, 229B Gold Line on its way to Atlantic Station. And then there was a huge mob of sheriff's deputies at Union Station. And so they both got off there. And I got one of their attentions and I was like, talk to this homeless guy. I'm late for my bus. But they're like, oh, we need more people. Jeez. And so we got a big group of witnesses together and filed a report. But
Sean,
yes.
Why did it have to be a Kings game?
That's where they're going. You can take the Gold Line. I don't know how they were getting. I guess they were going to take it to Union Station and then take the Red Line to Staples, maybe. But that's where the family was going anyway.
I thought you go to 7th and then you go down.
Maybe. I don't know. But they were on the Gold Line in Pasadena, so they would have had to.
I think they were going to a Ducks game.
No, they were wearing Kings stuff, which is why I assume they were going to a Kings game.
Yikes.
Yeah. Wow. They're going to a Ducks game. Yeah. Why would you go to a Ducks game this season? I love the Ducks game this season.
Anybody remember the Mighty Ducks TV show from the 90s?
I do. Wild Wing's still their mascot. I got Jonas Hiller to sign a Wild Wing still in box. Jonas Hiller and Ryan Getzlaff. Sorry.
Well, much less excitingly, except for me, I'm dressed like a superhero, even though Sean got to be the actual superhero.
And what are you wearing, superhero?
Go on.
What are you wearing? That's dirty, Blue.
Hey, I'm trying to make it interesting for the listeners.
No, thank you. I am a diesel punk superhero, so think like a tank girl mechanic. With all kinds of guns. I got to have my guns. This was for a photo shoot for an artist friend of mine who is doing a whole series of paintings and drawings for a show he has in April. So he needed people to dress up like not your typical superheroes, but something neat and superhero-y, so that he can do all these pictures. And the cool part for me was that I made these guns, like Nerf guns, like steampunk Nerf guns a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And I got to use them as one of my weapons. And then I got to like wield a wrench on like each finger as my other weapon. So it was pretty cool.
Wow. Did you have any goggles?
I do have goggles. I always wear goggles, in fact.
Really?
On a daily basis.
Did anyone tell you to fix a turret, TF2 style, on the way home?
No, but that would have been amazing.
if there's a guy dressed as a spy, you can knife him.
Next time you're in LA, remind me to take you to Goldbug so steampunk can be ruined for you like it is for me.
No. I don't want steampunk to be ruined.
She's
for
diesel me. Punk, man. Diesel punk, big difference.
Well, normally I'm steampunk, though, so Sean's right, in a way. But yeah, today's diesel punk. I hope to be in L.A. soon, sooner than later, but at least this summer.
Yeah.
There you go.
Anyway.
So, who wants to kick us off for what they've been playing?
Well, it's your job, host. Tell somebody to do it.
Okay.
Orders.
Okay, Sean, you do it.
All right. So, I finally got Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
Yay.
Hey.
And just in time for the Heroes and Heralds DLC to come out. So I guess we really never talked about that other than to say that I kicked your ass at E3 when they first announced it, right? Like, because we never got review copies of any version of that game.
Whose ass did you kick?
Yours.
Mine? What?
Yours and Tidegear's.
What? For Ultimate?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't
No, not Ultimate. That. Not Ultimate. Just regular Marvel vs. Capcom.
Oh. Are you sure?
Yeah, 100%.
You beat me at Samurai Showdown Zen or something.
I do remember that. Like, but that was a more pathetic beatdown because none of us knew what we were doing.
Right.
I kind of knew what I was doing in Marvel vs. Capcom.
Yeah. Okay.
But so I got Ultimate. I really, really like it. One of the things they added in this one was a mission mode, mm-hmm. which each character has 10 missions. And basically by mission, it's like perform this combo. Mm-hmm. But each mission kind of builds on that. So your first mission will be like, for Captain America, for example, it'll be like, first mission, do a shield slash. So you do it, and then, okay, good. Next one, perform a combo with it, and it'll be a specific combo, which will be like, crouching high punch, crouching mid punch, mm-hmm. shield slash, or high shield slash. But it'll list it, and it'll take things off the list as you do it, mm-hmm. so you know that you're performing it correctly. And by the end, it'll be like, you're doing this crazy air combo with a hyper combo finish and then a, you know, like a cancel out of it or bring another person in. And it's the first time that I've played one of these Capcom fighters where I get how the combos link, and it's entirely because of that mission mode. Mm. It's not perfect. There are a couple little things that I wish they would fix. Like, for me, I'd get halfway through a combo and then I would get, I wouldn't be able to get something. Like, there's one where I got stuck using Captain America as an example, where I do an air combo, and then there's an anti-ground attack he does that's supposed to juggle him back into the air to finish off the combo, and I can never land that. And it would be neat if there was some sort of, this is as far as you've gotten in the combo indicator, mm-hmm. instead of just starting you all the way over again. Mm-hmm. You know, just so I feel like I've done something. But other than that, that's really cool. I really enjoy it.
Who's your squad in the game?
I've always got a rotating third. My main two are Captain America and Hawkeye because they're really similar, and I mm-hmm. love them, and I want their babies. My third spot rotates between Amaterasu. Is that how you say it?
Mm-hmm. Amaterasu, I think it is.
The dog. Zero and mm-hmm. Spider-Man. That's pretty much it. Anybody else that I've tried has been kind of temporary. Okay. I sometimes throw Iron Man in the mix just so I can have a full Avengers team. Not that, I'm not going to get into Spider-Man.
did you play Tatsunoko versus Capcom?
I played it very briefly.
I was going to, if you'd played it a bit, I was going to ask how Ultimate Marvel versus Capcom compared to, TVC, because I played the crap out of TVC. I loved it.
It's much better looking. I mean, that's for sure. It's the first time they've added a new style to the Versus series that really works. You know, I mean, Versus had the same sprites in it for so long. And I feel like when they made Tatsunoko versus Capcom, they tried to use that same style and didn't translate as well. It's not that it was an ugly game. It just, I kind of had a generic look to it.
Mm-hmm. Not much you can do with this, the wing, really.
Yeah, but this has a very specific inked look to it that looks really cool, and it works really well. It's weird how it's really self-referential, but it almost... It's in that weird valley where it's not quite self-referential enough, but at the same time, it's so self-referential that it's, noticeable. Like, they need to go a little bit further with it or dial it back just a little bit.
Also, but, give me an example.
Well, the title screen is posters from all the different versions of the first two games.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll have, the Japanese poster and the American poster, and they're cropped in very specific ways to add focus to certain characters that aren't in the game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the other podcasts have really talked about the fact that there's an inevitable expansion coming for this, but there is an inevitable expansion. When you boot up the game, it's like, check it out, Cable, Captain Commando, and Mega Man, and then Heroes and Heralds, which I'll get to in a second. There's a card system, so you collect cards and you assign them to your character to give you special abilities and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the character art for that is done in the style of the character art for the manuals and stuff for this game.
Mm-hmm.
Except all that character art is just really nicely rendered versions of the actual models in the game.
Sure.
So it makes it seem as though, off the top of my head, Scarlet Witch, I think, was one of them. Nightcrawler was another one of them that's rendered that way. Mm-hmm. It seems like they have started to produce assets to put them in the game. Mm-hmm. I think Cyclops might have been another one. I'm coming at this from a really heavy Marvel fan perspective, but it seems like they highlight certain characters and sort of nudge, wink ways like, hey, you guys kind of want to see this, don't you? You should probably get your friends out there buying this game so that we can make another one. Mm-hmm. I guess
makes
to expand on. Yeah, no. I guess to expand Heroes and Heralds mode,
mm-hmm.
It's really cool. It's like they listened to what I was saying about Conquest mode in Soul Calibur, and they were like, we can do that. Why not? You basically start out with 7 areas, and each area has a one character assigned to it. And then you get a bingo card with character faces on it, just randomly all over the place. And if you can get through a line of it, you unlock another area. So, let's say I click on an area with Chris Redfield on it, and he's on my bingo card, and then it gives him his other two characters, which if they're also on my bingo card, I knock them off. It's called a hit list, not a bingo card, but that's what it is. if I get a line, I get a whole new card, and then a new area to go to. And if I get multiple lines at once, the area is more like it'll be a more difficult area. And it'll be more likely to give me a better card, because you get a card after every round. Mm-hmm. And then every time you go to an area, you get more more control of that area for your team. So,
mm-hmm.
you're either a hero or a herald. Doesn't really make a difference either way. So you're the red team or blue team, and you're trying to take over areas. And then at the end of the week, which each campaign lasts a week if you play it online, at the end of the week you either the heroes or the heralds will win. The problem is PS3 doesn't seem like a lot of people are playing Heroes and Heralds online. I've heard the 360 has a pretty decent online community.
It's only been going on a week, right?
Yeah, which is why it's upsetting, because it's only been going on a week and I can't get a game started. But the offline mode's still really fun and really addictive. It's just I would like to... It sucks when you're playing offline and every time you turn the PlayStation you're on, you're like, hey, the bad guys still haven't done anything, whereas if you're playing it online, every time you boot in, it's like, wow, the entire landscape has changed because I was gone. Yeah. I think that would be really cool, but if nobody's on that line playing, then that's not going to happen. But it's really cool. I like it a lot. It's by far my favorite mode in the game.
Actually multiple modes in a Capcom fighting game?
It's got arcade mode, it's got online mode, it's got the online lobby mode where you group up with 8 people and then you have a little miniature tournament. So you've got the mission mode. There's a lot to do in that game.
I hold all fighting games to the standard of Virtua Fighter 5's quest mode. Anybody play that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, for those that haven't, you have several different arcades on this one map, and depending on which arcade you go to, you'll be fighting more advanced fighters. And every piece of AI that you fight is like based off of like a real world fighter, like someone from the arcades or whatever.
Yeah, that's how Conquest Mode was in Soul Calibur.
Soul Calibur, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, your goal was to take out everyone in one arcade or win a tournament in one arcade, and I ended up. I mean, all the achievements in Virtua Fighter 5 were tied to the quest mode, and that was one of the first games I got 1,000 gamer score on, because I played that thing for like 20 solid hours.
Nice.
And, I mean, I'm hoping that mode's going to carry over to the Virtua Fighter 5, Virtua Fighter 5 R. I can't remember what the tagline or caption, whatever they put on there was. But there's going to be a new Virtua Fighter 5 coming out for the 360 and PS3 next year.
Hmm.
Maybe for the Vita too. Oh, that's the other thing I wanted to mention real quick, was that Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3?
Yeah.
Already doing the same shit the Wii U's supposed to do, so...
Oh, yeah?
Bum, bum, bum. Yeah, you can use it as a controller. If you have Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 for the Vita, you can use it as a PS3 controller, and you basically get a similar mode to what you have with Street Fighter 4 for the 3DS, where you can map certain moves to the touchscreen. So
that's cool and all, but you got to pay double.
Yeah. Well, you can. I also think they're going to release a patch when the US release comes out,
mm-hmm.
where you can do remote play to your Vita if you just have the PS3 version.
Mm.
But that's a rumor right now, so I don't know how much credence there's going to be to that. But I don't know.
Here's a question for you guys. I have always felt like, I'm wondering how you feel about this, because I think it's, on the one hand, I think it's kind of cool when fighting games try to incorporate several different modes. But on the other hand, I kind of think that it's more important to focus on like a couple different fighting modes and then keep it simple that way and just like perfect those and make those pretty good. Cause like in Soul Calibur, which was it? Was it the third one that was out on the PS3 and had that whole like tower defense?
I don't think tower defense?
Or maybe not tower. It was like you went and attacked different it was tower. You went and attacked different like little castle-y areas and like built up your army or whatever.
Oh yeah,
I'm talking about
Soul Calibur 2, I think, was a console one that tried doing that.
Was it 2? I can't remember which number it was, but anyway, I liked. My only point with that is that, like, I liked that they were trying to branch out and do something different, but honestly, it sort of distracted from like the gameplay part of the game for me, the like fighting part of the game. And to me, a fighting game should be about fighting. So I feel divided. I almost feel like I'd rather have a fighting game that's a little more pure and is more just like a couple different fighting modes than one that has all these different like styles and modes of play. But how do you guys feel about that?
You should try Air Gates.
Air Gates?
Yes, old PS1 fighting game that you can play Final Fantasy VII characters, but there's a quest mode where it is a legitimate RPG that uses all of the, like a dungeon crawling RPG, where it uses all of the fight mechanics.
Huh.
The last Mortal Kombat threw a hell of a lot of different content and modes, and most of it was really polished and robust, and I just thought a lot of other developers, especially Capcom, they were going to have to step up their game after Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you're going to go for the, you know, you have 50 characters and they all have different endings, that's fine, but you got to understand that I'm only going to care about 3 of them, and if you want me to finish it as the other ones, you have to have a carrot on a stick. Like, the only game I could think of that did that carrot on the stick thing well was Marvel vs. Capcom 2, where you started out with 10 characters, there's 52 total, and then there was every time you played, regardless of if you beat it or got to the end or died in one thing, you got a couple points, and you used those points to buy shit in the store. And you bought, you know, levels, you bought characters, you bought costumes, you bought music, you bought art. And it just, I don't know, there's something about the fact that you had to start doing that to get all the characters.
Mm-hmm.
It made me keep playing it over and over and over again until I unlocked everything.
You didn't the crypt? In the old Mortal Kombat, and they had a variation in the latest one. You weren't a fan of that as much?
I still haven't played. So I played Mortal Kombat 1, 2, 3, and Ultimate 3, and that was pretty much the extent of my Mortal Kombat days.
Mm-hmm.
probably PS2 era games are probably pretty cheap. You might want to track down, I think, Armageddon, that had like every character or just about every character from every Mortal Kombat game brought in together.
Was it better than Ultimate 3? Because Ultimate 3 was really good.
I mean, 4
kind of lost me because that was when they started doing the 3D stuff that just didn't appeal to me.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of, I mean, it's not going to be great. I mean, it is a 3D Mortal Kombat, but I mean, it's not awful. I mean, if you can get it for, you know, $5 or thereabouts, it's
not awful.
Yeah. five bucks for a game that I'm not sure about is too much for me to set up my PS2 now. I will set up my PS2 when I can get Front Mission 5 working. That's about it.
I guess the only other game that did that sort of well for me was Mario Smash Brothers, the Rumble one. Yeah. For the
Brawl.
Wii. Yeah, Brawl. I liked the like single player sort of contesty conquest mode they had, but some of it was, even some of that, like some of the, not the main quest mode, but some of the like extra, like, so you can hit someone the furthest with a bat. Like, it's kind of fun, I guess, but I'd rather just fight. I don't really care.
Well, the reason the ones with Smash Brothers work is because in Smash Brothers, they are teaching you how to play the game, and they're expanding your horizons in it. Like, so when you're playing that quest mode, there's the level that forces you to play as Snake and forces you to use some of Snake's Smash moves. So you're learning, all right, well, these are his moves, and these are, you know, these are the opportunities I'm going to have to use it. But it's not going, hey, you should do this, blah, 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 blah. It's like puts you in these scenarios that kind of forces you to learn on your own. And it feels good, and it makes you interested in these characters that otherwise you wouldn't have exposed yourself to. Like, that's kind of the problem with Marvel vs. Capcom 3 is there are like 40 characters in that game. I don't know. There's a bunch of characters in that game. And I will not play as half of them because I have zero interest in them, and I don't really want to try it. And
poor
they
Sir
might be
Arthur.
The most. Well, they might be the most. Yeah, Sir Arthur, I'm probably not going to play as. I loved his game, but I have no interest in that character. And unless it forces me to use him, I'm not going to really explore it. And I mean, I might eventually decide I want to get the trophy for unlocking all the endings, and that would be the best thing for it. But I mean, the ending I've gotten so far, it's two screens long, and it's just like, hey, here's a comic book panel that takes up, you know, maybe 20% of your screen.
Right. Yeah. No, totally.
TVC did it better, apparently, because I mean, with that, if you beat the game, you got like about three different screens, and they took up the entire real estate of the screen.
But anyway, I'm complaining about it now, but like I said, it's a good game. It's $40. $40 for a lot of content. I think it's worth it. Free DLC, yada yada, blah blah.
yada yada, blah blah.
I will say before anybody asks, I'm sure it'll be asked in the comments since I hit it before. I did get the Mega Man X card. It is not rendered in the Marvel vs. Capcom 3 style. So if they are going to make an expansion and that my theory is correct and those are tells, he will not be in the expansion either.
That's awesome.
I haven't gotten the Mega Man card. Maybe that's different. But the Mega Man card.
I know Mega Man's. There's going to be a Mega Man skin for Zero.
Yes.
I mean, what's the point? I mean, you're putting the effort into making a skin for it. Just make it a different character and say, look, there's another
exactly
character.
The same.
Because
he would play exactly the same.
No, Zero uses the sword.
So does X.
When does X use a sword?
In, like, X4 through 8.
Did anybody ever play X4 through 8?
I did. Yeah. I played all of them.
Yeah, Sean did.
4 was good. 5 was not as good. 6 was not as good. 7 was not as good. 8 was really not as good.
And there's your rundown.
I take it there was a lot that was not as good.
Yeah.
They just tried to change too much. There was a really simple thing that Mega Man X had going, and they just did too much. Like, make you use a sword.
How dare they make
Anyway,
I want to hear about Underboob.
Sorry, I spent like half an hour on that. I apologize. Played Tomb Raider Underboob because it was free. It was not good.
No, really?
What's worse, the controls or the camera?
The controls. It has really antiquated controls where you use the punch button to do everything. So you're like, I want to investigate this chest. Punch. Oh, I guess I can't investigate that chest. Oh, I want to investigate
Laura's
this picture.
Chest?
Yeah. No, but it's like, it's dumb when you're up, like, trying to find stuff and you're jump kicking and doing all this silly crap. And then the camera adjusts every time you do that. So it's dumb. Bad game. But it was free, so I guess it was worth what I spent on it.
I bought all three Tomb Raider games on the PS3, the collection, for $9.50. So I probably got took. But yeah, they look really old. The Tomb Raider,
Legend,
what's the first one?
Legend wasn't that bad.
Anniversary.
Anniversary, I wouldn't mind trying, because it's a remake of the first one, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's okay, but it's kind of... I mean, I guess after playing Legend and hearing like a decent amount of commentary going on while you're playing the game, you know, from Laura's assistants or whatever at the back at her mansion, the second one, or Anniversary, just felt kind of too quiet. It's quiet. Too quiet.
But that was the cool thing about Tomb Raider. I don't know. It was very...
It was cool back in the day, but I guess after, you know, playing Legend and stuff like that and going back and playing Anniversary, it didn't feel quite as... It needed more talking, actually.
I think the trick with dating games is that you can't like continuously rely on the nostalgia factor, because you do have nostalgia for certain games, but there's also an appreciation that part of which is that you accept that that's how games were back then. And so I think that you have to, if you're going to like continue something, the trick is to actually make it good and make it modern and keep the like main things that make it, you know, Tomb Raider, make it whatever, but still update it and make it more finished feeling and modern than it was once.
I think the 2D Bionic Commando did a really good job of that. The 3D, not so much.
I think Tomb Raider's strength was always that sort of, what's the word I'm looking for, where you're alone and there's nothing else out there.
Isolated?
Thank you. That isolated environment that it gave you, especially in that first one, where it just kind of drops you in a tomb and is like, all right, you got guns. There are wolves in places.
Watch out for the T-Rex. So,
and dinosaurs.
Whenever they added story elements, even the first three, which were really good games, the story and the characters in those games have always, always been stupid and throwaway.
What about when she was a little girl?
No, that was dumb. Super
that
dumb.
Was awful.
Her butler, dumb. Her boyfriend guy in the first one, dumb. Bad guys, dumb. Motorcycle, dumb. Dinosaur, less dumb.
That's a minor
Mega Man 7X, dumb.
But when it was just doing Tomb Raider shit, it was good. Yeah. And somewhere along the line, Lara Croft became so popular that Douglas Coupland had to write a stupid book about her, that they decided that was what people wanted. And I don't know, maybe people do, but I didn't. And Underboob just made that worse. I was like, hey, I don't care about whatever this story about your mom is. I don't care about your mom. Are we going to be in a tomb? Nope, we're going to be on a boat. That's cool. Oh, I'm going to swim to a tomb? That sounds like a good idea. Hey,
want me to spoil it
for
you?
For an hour. What?
Her mom's a zombie.
What? Is she a Nazi zombie? Because then I can just go ahead and wipe my hard drive and make sure I never play that game again.
I don't think she's a Nazi zombie, but it's like one of those... it's a sci-fi zombie coming back from the dead, and I think her eyes were glowing or something like that. It was some stupid bullshit. I fucking hated Underworld.
Oh, Underboob.
Can we, since this is the holiday cheer time of year, can we try and keep the hate down to a minimum?
I'll tell you about a game I played that I didn't hate.
What's that?
Sonic CD.
Oh, yeah. Good. I'm picking
that is a great port. When I turned it on and they did the intro video and it didn't look like a pixely garbage crap, but it looked really good, I was like, wow. Wow.
Did you play the Japanese or the American soundtrack?
You can't play the American soundtrack, can you?
Yeah.
I thought you could.
Yeah.
No, I thought
I looked in the options and you can select either English or Japanese.
Maybe that
no,
has
no,
to
is
do...
it English, Japanese, or American? Because the European soundtrack is different than the American soundtrack as well. I think the thing is, Sonic Boom is not in that game anywhere.
Maybe that's a trivia question, so we'll move away from there.
Oh, okay. I'm pretty sure something. But anyway, that is a great
I heard Sonic Boom in there
game.
When I played the demo.
Did it?
I think. I switched on the English soundtrack, and then I heard Sonic Boom. So I think it was default to Japanese.
Sonic Boom!
Didn't we hear most of that music at the big Sonic thing at E3?
They played Sonic Boom at the thing.
The thing that we went to, right?
Yeah, that's where they made the announcement that they were making Sonic CD.
Now, why the hell are they selling that for $4.99?
Why not?
I know, that's great, but
probably because it's...
They came out with that really crappy Sonic 4 stuff, and that came out, what, Sean, 12, 15 bucks?
That was
garbage.
It was garbage.
I'm sorry for the hate, but... But here's Sonic CD.
No, saying it's garbage, that's fine.
Okay, but Sonic CD, you know, great game. $5?
That's weird, awesome. Too, because Sonic CD is one of those games that it's good and it's recognized as being a good Sonic game, and it's one that a lot of people haven't played.
And you really can't get it anywhere else, unless you still own your...
Okay. Well, of course, now it's on everywhere. I think it's $2 on the Android Marketplace, and I think probably $2 on iOS as well.
You do not want to play that on a phone.
Definitely not.
No. There's a lot of games that you do not want to play a phone that a lot of companies are touting themselves,
Street
Fighter.
We put
this on a phone, and it's great, you fucked up. It's terrible on a phone.
Hey, Dead Space on the phone, other than the fact that the story was dumb, not a terrible game.
Grand Theft Auto 3 is... as you might think.
I'm just saying.
Grand Theft Auto 3 came out recently as well, and that looks... I haven't played it. Neither my phone nor my tablet are compatible with it, but I've heard varying things about it. It looks really nice.
Well, my thing is just like I said before, that whole experience with the Xperia Play really made me optimistic towards phone games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you have one of those, it's,
I didn't use the controller all that much. Just the games they are making for that system, a lot of them just...
So would you use Virtual Pet?
Well, like I said, for Dead Space, that's the way to play that game. You play it with a controller, it plays like garbage. But if you play it with the virtual D-pad on that, it works really well. Mm-hmm. And if you do a virtual D-pad right, apparently there's a right way to do that, and it works really well. But I think it needs to be... It's very specific types of game. And third-person shooter, I think it works.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to have bumper buttons, but I don't see a lot of people putting bumpers on it. Yeah, I don't see a lot of people putting bumpers on their systems, but I think that if you want a gaming phone, that is what you need to do. Screw the D-pad.
No, don't screw the D-pad.
Why don't they just put a phone on the Vita? Why don't they just put a phone on a gaming system?
Well,
they kind of sort of did that with Skype on the PSP.
No, they kind of sort of did N-Gage, and our group of people decided that was something they didn't want, and so now we have iPhones.
Digital taco.
Yeah, I mean, we are never gonna see that, just because it has been proven time and time again that it doesn't sell, because we're a bratty bunch of people.
I mean, if they made, so for anyone who listens to our podcast who actually makes anything, if they made a little gaming system that was a slick feeling, I don't really like the PS gaming systems, but if they made one that was as slick as the Vita, that wasn't console specific so that you could play anything on it, and they came with a earpiece microphone combo with it.
They made a Wonder device that emulated everything.
It's
not as robust, but that was the idea of the PlayStation phone.
Yeah.
Okay, there needs to be one, though, that is functional.
There is one.
It
functions well.
Does it?
Yeah. It's just that it's...
Works.
Gamers are not interested in a phone. They have iPhones.
Hmm. Well, but that's only good for casual gamers.
But it's also...
I mean, you can get shmups from Cave on the iPhone, and they're also coming to the Android phones as well. Come on, Death Smiles in 2012. Come on, Death Smiles in 2012.
But I don't want to play Death Smiles on a phone.
And it's they don't screen. Play as well.
Well, regardless of whether it plays well or not, you need to play a shmup on a big screen. Bigger screen.
I've actually heard that they're pretty decent.
They may be a decent port, but I really don't want that experience on a phone.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're going to be stuck in line waiting someplace, I mean, would you rather play something like Fruit Ninja or something like Death Smiles?
Well, see, if you're stuck in a line somewhere, to be perfectly honest, I'd rather just play Solitaire. You know, most games, you got to boot it up, you got to get in there, you got to get started, and then by the time you're really going in whatever level, the pacing's just off.
And most bullet hell shooters, I do not want to play in public where there's going to be a shit ton of distractions.
Right? Or a shit ton of people looking over your shoulder and saying, "Ooh, look at the boobies on that maid riding a broom and shooting..."
Well, that happens already.
Vagina lasers.
Vagina lasers? are they 8 inches long?
Depends on, if his phone's 8 inches long, I guess, if he's playing it on a Vita.
Oh,
my tablet's 8 inches long.
Ew, stop. Don't talk about phones and vaginas in the same paragraph. That's bad.
Tablet talk.
I got a spring break story, but I'll save that for another day.
No.
But no, I mean, I'm just saying, I don't know. I think it depends on, I mean, I'm glad that it's branched out and there are portable systems, there are phones, and they have games for each, you know? Like, I'm going to get a Vita, and I'm going to play Vita games on the bus. And then when I'm waiting for the bus, I'm probably going to pull out my phone and play, you know, Solitaire or fucking whatever other stupid games I have on there that are throwaway, because most games I play on my phone are throwaway because my phone is garbage. But, you know, I will play those games because they're usually designed to be, you pull them out of your pocket and you just start them, as opposed to like Monster Hunter, where it's you pull it out of your pocket.
The conversation.
Dude got punched in the face on the train today. Not conversing with anybody.
Well, that's true.
Just keep your eyes on what you're on what you're doing on your side.
See, if he was looking at a cave shooting, he would have never seen it coming.
Yeah.
So thank God for that.
Yeah. But no, I mean, I'm just saying, like, there's just a difference in design philosophy. I don't want to have to pull out my phone, load up a cave shooter, press start, pick the level, pick my ship. You know, the beginning of the level is going to be kind of slow, and then it's going to pick up. And once it's up pace, my bus shows up. So then I got to stop it. And then when I start back up, it's going to be in a different place. You know, like it's different type of gaming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Okay, now question. I believe in Japan, first week for the Vita, 3DS beat it.
Mm-hmm.
Cause for concern?
We'll get to that question in the mailbag, won't we?
Was it on the mailbag?
Actually, I guess not. Yes
Should
and
we
no.
Save it for mailbag?
Oh, no, I mean, we asked it now. I guess it's not in the mailbag. Yeah, so Vita had a slow week. 3DS had the two biggest weeks they've had in Japan because Monster Hunter 3G came out.
Woo!
And actually, they had a bigger week when Monster Hunter 3G came out than the best week of the PSP. That was big for them. But the thing you got to realize about Japan is they don't buy systems, they buy games, you know? And if it's a game for a system they don't own, then it becomes a $300 game and they'll pay that. Mm-hmm. And Monster Hunter is that game. And if...
That's why Vita every time you fill out the Nintendo Club survey, they ask, did you purchase a console for this game?
Yeah. And yeah, if they don't get a game like that on the Vita, it's going to fail in Japan. And what's really going to hurt the Vita over here is if you listen to people's reviews of it, they're all really pessimistic, not because of anything the Vita's doing wrong, but because people just don't like the idea of another Sony handheld for whatever reason. Like, really? The most optimistic thing I heard from it was the 8-4 Play podcast seemed pretty optimistic about the Vita. I'm pretty excited about it. But, I mean, every domestic review or podcast or whatever that I've listened to them talk about the Vita, it's like, it's going to fail here, and this is why, before really giving it a chance, which is a bummer.
That is really strange because, you know, the 3DS right before launch was getting all kinds of hype, and everyone thought this was going to be, you know, the next big thing. We're offering 3D, you know, for $250. And, of course, you know, the launch was very soft on that one.
Yeah, well, and Nintendo, I got to give it to them. They're doing a great job of spinning to a very short-sighted market. You know, there's a lot of people doing the whole, 3DS has sold more DSs, more in the first year than the DS did in its first year, and look how big that got. But you also have to remember the DS was directly competing with the Game Boy Advance, and then Nintendo was sending out press releases saying, hey, the DS is not the new Game Boy. There will be another Game Boy probably in the next year. So a lot of people were holding off on DS sales, wondering what the Game Boy Advance 2 was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that never happened. People are, like, since they made that announcement, there's been a sales spike. You know, people are getting in the bandwagon mode, so good on them.
Well, plus they've had Mario Kart 7 and Super Mario 3D Land come out lately.
Those sold below expectations, though. Super Mario Land didn't make it onto the NPD's top 10. I think it was the first ever Mario game not to do that. Like, mainline Mario game.
So, Sean, anything else you've been playing?
Nope. We have spent a lot of time on Sean. I apologize.
Cave shooters on his phone.
No, that's okay.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I beat I beat 40 Thieves Solitaire multiple times this week.
I don't even know what that is.
It's really weird, difficult, hard solitaire. 40 Thieves.
Alibaba?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I have no idea what Hearts or Spades is.
Wait, what?
You know, Hearts, the game. Isn't there a game called Spades as well or something like that? Or Free Cell or something? Yep. All I know how to play is basic solitaire.
Really love each other.
Is this like the Birds and the Bees talk?
It is the Birds and the Bees talk.
That's creepy.
What are you playing, Blue?
The what goes in the where, dude?
Blue.
Yeah.
What have you been playing?
Oh, funny you should ask. Well, for starters, I got on another Forza 4 addiction. I am absolutely in love with that game. And I mean, Skyrim, I mean, what I played of that was awesome, but, you know, from what I played of Forza Motorsport 4, which has been over several months, I'm thinking it could be my personal game of the year.
Wow.
I sold Skyrim.
Dodges over Dragons.
Skyrim owner.
Hmm?
What?
You what?
I sold Skyrim.
Just because you're mad about the patch.
You sold it?
Pretty much. I sold
it. For the PS3?
No, I figure if they keep patching it, eventually it'll be in an okay state, and then I'll buy it again for $20.
$20.
Oh, geez.
With all the DLC.
Yep.
Yeah, I know you're thinking.
But, I don't know how quite to describe it, but the feeling of owning the cars in the game feels stronger than it has with any other racing game I've played. It's like I feel like I actually, in some way, shape, or fashion, own that car. It's like it's gotten me to check out, you know, all sorts of different car channels on YouTube and stuff like that, and say, "Ooh, that looks nice. Is that in Forza? It's like it's turned me into a car freak. I mean, I'm starting to watch Top Gear. Top Gear is a fucking awesome show. I gotta say,
they're, the BBC they're okay. One. Yeah. I like them. I like that they have Ewan McGregor on there a lot because he loves cars, which I think is hilarious. But sometimes they're a little biased. Like I've definitely seen a couple things on there where some of the stuff they say is like that's just not even really reasonable. A comparison.
The electrical system on the DeLorean was actually trapping people in it, in this horrible monstrosity.
Yeah, the DeLorean had all sorts of problems, though.
That's
true. And it's kind of a crappy car to drive in the game, too.
It's a crappy car to drive in every game. They just put it in there because people like it.
Plus, they actually put an achievement in there. It's like, out of time, or whatever, it's like, it unlocks this little character icon, or profile icon, that's of a license plate spinning on its side, saying out of time with flames for the wheels behind it, like in Back to the Future. I thought that was a neat touch, I was using that for a while in my online profile. But, I mean, if you love racing games, go out and buy it. I really don't think you'll be disappointed, especially with the online designs. I mean, I'm driving a Sailor Mercury Plymouth Cuda, or is it Plymouth Cuda? Or something like that.
I lost interest. Sure.
The online designs, if you have an interest in just about anything, somebody's probably made a design for it. I mean, I'm driving another car I drive is a Hulk Hogan Dodge Ram, and it has like Hulk Hogan and the American flag on the back of it, like a three color drawing of Hogan's head on the back on the bed cover for the truck.
Awesome.
It's like it's got like black and then yellow for the mustache and red for the bandana or something like that. I mean, I tweeted a picture of it as well.
Yeah, I saw it. That one does.
I'm gonna look for vagina lasers.
Oh my god! Why don't you just put vagina lasers on your fucking car?
As a matter of fact, I will.
Good.
Watch out, world.
And vagina lasers confirmed for Forza Motorsport 5.
There's an achievement unlocked.
You know, if you type in vagina lasers, that's a good one. On Google, you get mostly vaginal laser rejuvenation sites.
Thanks, Sean.
But there is one picture of some 50-foot anime girl shooting vagina lasers over her head.
That's cover art.
Jesus.
That's cover art. Yeah.
Speaking of crazy Japanese things, for God only knows what reason, I put Oni-chan Barra Bikini Zombie Squad or Bikini Zombies Zombie whatever. It's the 360 version.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was, I guess it's kind of like, it kind of hits on this Earth Defense Force like thing where it's like, you know, you have to play through the game a couple of times and you'll unlock stuff and yada yada yada. I mean, it's awful. Don't get me wrong. It's a technically terrible game, but for some reason, it's just there's something
it's tailor made for you.
Well, sorta. I mean, it's just, I mean, Earth Defense Force is more my kind of thing, but I mean, I guess it's just. It's mindless. It's completely mindless. I can just sit there and I tap the X button, and I tap the X button, and I tap the X button. And I don't have to think about it. I guess it's kind of a Dynasty Warriors type thing, really. But if there is ever, ever, ever an award for the most unhygienic video game ever, this takes the cake. It's like you have this meter that you charge up by covering yourself in blood splatter. And the more blood splatter you get on you, you'll start to see blood dripping off of her hands and stuff like that. And basically, the reason why she wears a bikini is that she needs to get the blood on her skin to channel this hidden demonic power.
I could be into that. That makes sense. I'm cool with that.
And it should be noted that you can also change the blood color from red to white.
That's awful. I was about to say, is this made by the same people who made the version of Transformers where they're powered by schoolgirl kisses?
But yeah, Oni-chan Barra, it's horrible. It's mindless. You probably won't get it up for it because it's just so fucking unhygienic. I mean,
anybody get it up for video games that aren't specifically
Does anybody get it up for video games? Is that what you just said?
Yeah.
I mean...
does anybody get a boner over video games?
Yeah.
I'm sure some people do. Excuse me, Dead or Alive could not exist, I think, for so many sequential, numbers if somebody wasn't.
I was playing a bit of Dead or Alive on my 3DS, actually. I mean, it's a serviceable fighting game. It's fast, and the jiggle helps it along, certainly, especially like in Dead or Alive Extreme 2, where it's just obscene how much the breasts jiggle in that. But I hate to say that Dead or Alive has been one of my favorite 3D fighting games after immediately talking about how much the breasts jiggle. Because I do like the gameplay of it. I mean, Dead or Alive 3...
Yeah, it's got solid fighting, which is what makes it good. It's just in order to get the attention, it had to jiggle boobies. I feel like Dead or Alive could move past that, but they've kind of dug themselves into a hole.
But, you know, it's like... I think they... You know, with Dead or Alive 5, some screenshots were released, and I think they've reduced the size of the breasts in the characters from what I've seen.
Huh. I don't know. That's also a very Japanese thing. Like when Kojima started putting out, you know, look how realistic the Fox Engine is. The first thing he wanted to show was if we put silk shirts on people, yeah, you can see their bra through it. Kojima.
Something else I've been playing. Speaking of the 3DS, the Game Boy Advance Ambassador games came out.
Yes,
and. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had four of the ones that they released. They released 10 of them, and honestly, the colors in that. I mean, I guess I've heard that it was because the way the screens were on the original Game Boy Advance systems that they designed the colors to not be quite so vivid. I've heard that as an excuse for you know the lack of color vividness or whatever. But I mean, it's. I mean, even on maximum settings, you know, maximum brightness settings on the 3DS, mm-hmm. Just playing the GBA games, they look awful. The graphics look faded on there. I mean, I attempted to do a side-by-side comparison video of the Game Boy Advance games running on the DS Lite.
Well, you know, you can run them in original resolution to stop that from happening.
Yeah,
right?
They're tiny though. Absolutely tiny. I ran WarioWare like that, and it was the size of a stamp. I was like, screw this.
That's how big the original GBA screen was.
It might have been, but, you know, there's no point in going back to super small screens like that.
Yeah, and that's how they're going to get you when they re-release Fire Emblem for 3DS.
Well, you know, Fire Emblem was one of the GBA games that was part of the Ambassador Program.
But I was going to say, Blue, the GBA, if you were ever outside or there was any natural sunlight coming in, it was really hard to see the screen. And
I disagree. I only played my GBA outside because it was so easy to see the screen, yeah.
Really?
I used to, we had a thing called the bubble on campus, and I would go sit out next to the bubble and play Fire Emblem to bring that back up again, because I could get enough direct sunlight there that I could see the screen really well.
Because what was that one game where you were a vampire and
Boktai.
Boktai. Yeah. I used to try to play the hell out of that because it was in the sun, but I could never really see the screen unless I held it at just the proper angle.
Yeah.
And I'm talking
That's it. You did have to get it at just the right angle, but if you did, that was like optimal viewing. Now, if you had a Game Boy Advance SP, then you couldn't play it outside. SP was garbage outside, but it was great indoors.
Mm-hmm. And the Micro have any of you used the Game Boy Micro?
Yeah, I have one.
It's like super small. When I was doing the side by side comparison, it's like the colors looked so much better on the Micro, you know, when playing like a Mario Kart or whatever, versus on the 3DS. And I don't know if it's some difference in the screens. I know there's got to be something different because of the 3D.
Now my huge problem with that is why they couldn't, you know, in the emulation, why they couldn't have some kind of sleep mode in there.
That's another thing that's wrong with the Ambassador Program games. There's no sleep for it. It's just like Blaze Blue.
Yeah.
And I mean, if they figured that how to do that out with PS1 classics, you know, 5 years ago, they can do that with GBA games. That was just lazy on their part. Like, hey, is this a feature people are gonna want? No. On a DS, that's super convenient. No, of course not. How would anybody ever close it to make it go to sleep? That's a dumb thing. You people are dumb gamers. Mario.
I miss the old accessories that came like with Game Boy. Like you had the pop-on screen that was that didn't cover up any of the buttons. That was that was the light and had the magnifying glass.
Yeah, I had one of those. Awful. Those were awesome.
No, that was great, so cool.
Because you put it on, and then your parents kissed you goodnight, and then you got under your covers and played Game Boy all night.
Yeah, it's totally awful.
No, here's why they were awful. The lighting on that was uneven, and so you had some spots that were brighter than others. It just drove me nuts. I had that on for like 5 minutes before I took it off. That was garbage.
I freaking loved it.
No, what was garbage was the stereo speakers, the stereo speaker screen protector. They covered the entire Game Boy, and then it flipped out to the sides. And it
didn't it also have like some joysticks and some button pressing answers?
Yeah, it had a joystick, thumbstick thing that didn't really work all that well and kept getting stuck in diagonals.
And I liked that they tried, and I liked I liked the accessories that they came out with. Whereas now they're like, it's a complete system. You don't need any fucking accessories. It's like,
no, Monster Hunter just came out with an extra analog stick for the 3DS.
Monster Hunters is the exception to every rule. Okay, just assume it.
It also works for Metal Gear.
I don't know. What about the 3DS? You get extra battery life by buying the little Nyko thing, screen protection. There's still a market for accessories.
Yeah.
That's true. Well, with the 3DS, I guess. So yeah, I just really don't like the 3DS.
I've been playing a hell of a lot.
It comes out.
Yes, bias.
But I also played a bit of Ranger X for the Sega Genesis. That's going to be the next upcoming column. I paid $1.45 for that game.
As long as you don't put in Revolution X, we're okay.
The one with Aerosmith?
Yes.
Aerosmith's awesome.
They may be awesome, but their game, not so much. the arcade game wasn't too bad, but the translation, not so good.
But I've never if Ranger X feels like, you know, in Mega Man X, which we were talking about earlier, there was this robot in the first game where it was like in a car or part of a car or a robot car thing, and when you shot the robot part, you could ride on the car.
Yeah,
That's kind of what Ranger X feels like a bit, because except if you hit the down button, you can kind of like transform into the unicycle, and then it adds like this lock-on shooting system.
Yeah, but how far have you gotten into so far? Because he's X-Up is only a motorcycle in like the first three levels, and then he becomes like a crazy battleship and all sorts of other shit.
Yeah, and I ended up getting a game over in
World. In the cave?
No, it was World. Well, I did get some game overs in the cave when I was first playing it, but I think when I sat down and just marathoned it, I got as far as World 5, I want to say. I think it was stage 5.
You got to the part where he's the part in the forest where he turns into the big battle station or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's disappointing because when you get in there, it's like, you know, I think it will recharge your health, I believe, but you can't like shoot anything. It's like I have to rely solely on auto aim, and if you have a slow moving enemy like walking far down on the ground, sometimes they'll whiff the shots, and it's like, well, what's the fucking point of being a badass gunship if you can't do shit?
Mm-hmm. I mean, the motorcycle is definitely the best form, because then you can also if you stand on top of him and don't press up, you can also use him as sort of a skateboard, and then you can concentrate your fire. I don't know, that game is so freaking good.
I know, it's one that I saw it for $1.45 in this bin filled with Sega Genesis games, and I bought it based solely on the fact that it had a anime mech badass looking robot thing on the cover.
That's kind of what I did too. It was the back cover for Shinobi 3, and I loved Shinobi 3. And I saw Ranger X in a Blockbuster, and Shinobi 3 is the back cover of that. I was like, well, obviously they're trying to tell me something here. And so then I bought Ranger X.
I think I played it.
It's good. You should play it. That is one of my favorite Genesis games.
You know which one I liked? Blue. You need to investigate Subterranea.
Subterranea. I have seen that while I've been out there, but I haven't
checked
it
out.
That game usually is pretty cheap.
If it's $1.45, it's got a little bit of the Bung.io vibe to it because it's got gravity. Mm-hmm. I like gravity.
Gravity's awesome.
Well, this one isn't so much
flying into space.
You know what I don't think is awesome is games that have too much gravity.
Such as? Mario when he jumps 2 inches?
Yeah, or like...
Shard has a lot of gravity in it.
Limbo felt a little bit that way, where like you felt like you should have... Like you jumped about as high as maybe reasonably you could jump, but not quite, but then you seemed to come down a little more forcefully and quickly than you should have.
You're right. Screw reality. Screw harsh gravity.
Fuck gravity.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess that's pretty much all I've been playing. I'll probably touch on something quickly when we get into the mailbag. But, Sage, what have you been playing?
You gotta just say it like you told me.
Okay, well. What? Well, I've got a couple games I played, and only a couple because I got trapped up in Boulder by a blizzard freak snowstorm for the last 2.5 days. And I just got home last night. But I got to play this awesome game where a deep voice narrator talks about what you're doing as you do it, which is wicked cool. And the name of the game is Bastion.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, boy!
She's gonna rub that KY jelly all over her doink-a-doink.
Lasers.
Ow! There's so much vagina in this show, it's unbelievable.
I did not even say the word vagina right there.
Yeah, very vagina, everybody.
Too much vagina. Anyway, did not order a steaming hot vagina with this week's podcasting episode. Anyway, Bastion. Bastion is a great game. If you haven't played it yet, it's wonderful and it's cheap. And
is it on Xbox Live?
I believe so. I played it on a computer actually because it's digital download on Windows, but I think it's still available on both.
I'm gonna have to look into the demo for that.
And I think you can also they have it on. I heard that maybe they have it as a browser game, like you can play it just for free on the internet, but I'm not sure if that's true or not.
Rumors. You've heard it here first.
Rumors. I've heard rumors.
Game journalism.
Anyway. What?
I think.
What was that whisper?
It was the ghost of tablet talk.
No tablet talk. None. Anyway, so. So I played that, which I think is wonderful. And what is hilarious about it, sort of like Sean's KY jelly comment, but not that grotesque, is that as I'm sitting there playing it, I was asking my friend, like, what happens if I feel like being a dick and just, you know, being angry and smashing everything? So I started smashing everything, and the narrator voice was like, and then the kid went into a rage and smashed everything, which I thought was great because it felt like he really knew me and was sort of narrating not just my gameplay, but how I felt as a person. So I liked that. I thought it was nice. Is that too much for you, Deagle?
No, I'm cool.
Okay, good. So I played Bastion. It's phenomenal. Check it out. And I also got to play Bit Trip Beat, which is one in a series of, I think they've made
seven
now.
We are familiar with Bit Trip. Don't worry.
They have like a
but
bit.
No, I'm wondering.
I reviewed like two of them when we had them on the show.
No, I know. I'm sorry that I'm playing games that we've already had people on the show for, okay? I was busy.
Right. Already
let
busted
me,
her lasagna
this
once.
Game. It's got these two plumbers in it. Apparently, they've made a bunch of them.
And
they also released a Bit Trip collection on the 3DS, I believe, a couple months ago.
Did they? You can get a bunch of them for free right now. Sort of for free. The Humble Bundle 4. Mm-hmm. The Humble Indie Bundle 4, which is out right now, mm-hmm. which comes with like Cave Story Plus and Super Meat Boy and Bit Trip Runner and Gratuitous Space Battles, is only $5.23 monies. But if you pay any amount above $5.23, they also give you the Humble Indie Bundle 3, which has another Bit Trip game in it. So they give you the whole third Humble Bundle for free. Which is
pretty
cool.
And if you're one of those people bitching that you can't buy the Humble Bundles for a penny anymore, you're genuinely horrible people.
You are. Like,
I felt
bad not paying at least a minimum amount that was like basically double what they were asking for. Because the other thing is that a lot of the extra goes to charity, mm-hmm. and you can designate how much you want to go to the developers, how much you want to go to charity, and how much you want to go to actual, like, the Humble Bundle people. And the really sad thing is that they give you a pie chart at the end, like total payments by platform, and Windows is like 75% of the pie, and then Mac's like half of the 25%, and Linux is half of the 25%.
Well, they're broke because they had to buy their computers.
Hey-o.
No, but the funny thing is the average Windows person paid less than the minimum asking price that they're recommending. Like, the average Windows person paid like $4.63 instead of $5.23. And the average Mac person paid $7.48, and the average Linux person paid $10.32. Yeah, no. So the people with the nicer computer, like, these other people all paid, like, the average number of people getting it is for Windows, and all of those people are cheapskates who don't even pay the basic price to get all the extra games because they're so fucking cheap.
Wow.
Which I think is hilarious. So go Mac and Linux people, you rock. Windows people are cool too, but you should not be so stingy. And
way to lump them all together.
Yep, there you go. That's my generic breakdown for the night. But no, I really liked Bit Trip Beat. At first I thought I wasn't going to like it because I was like, what? It's Pong, but complicated. Fuck this. But I really got into the music, and I really liked it. The unfortunate thing is that when the music gets really good, it's a lot harder for me to see. I think I need to, like, sit further away from the screen because I have a really hard time, like, being able to focus.
Wait, when the music gets good, you have a hard time seeing.
Yeah, it's kind of like Techno Kitten Adventure where it's, like, stars start flashing in the background and everything gets all, like, seizure-inducing.
No, so on Bit Trip Beat, for anyone who hasn't played it, it's basically like Pong, and you move a paddle, and all these different balls are coming at you. But if you, so the normal standard you start out is that the music is like basic, mm-hmm. and then if you're failing, it goes to like black and white, and it takes all the music out so you can really focus.
Right.
But if you get a lot in a row, like 60 in a row or something, then you really get like the bass, like the music increases. But mm-hmm. when they do that, everything starts like having vibration waves come off of it, like when you hit a ball, it like sends off these waves and everything. So it actually gets harder to focus visually, and it's a completely visually based game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, what's that game that I really like? PlayStation Mini.
Oh, no, I was going to say.
I was going to say Frequency, but I guess not.
I forgot. Forget that I said anything. It's one of my favorite games, and I can't remember its name. It's completely drawing a blank.
Not Frequency.
No, just keep going.
Vib Ribbit?
I'm a failure at life.
Audio Surf?
Wait, run. Something with run.
DMC?
No, whatever. I've talked about it on the podcast before. Go listen to all the podcasts, and at some point I talk about a PlayStation Mini where it changes. It goes through the history of handheld systems as you do better, and eventually you end up in the Game Boy.
It's got like this dot matrix kind of aesthetic.
Yeah.
You know what we should
Pixel
do?
Love Rush. Pixel Love Rush.
Pixel Love Rush.
Pixel Love Rush?
There's no run in there.
Pixel Love Rush.
Oh, Pixel, okay.
Yes.
Pixel. With it spelled with an X or what?
P-I-X apostrophe N. Love, L-U-V, I think. Rush. But, yeah, that's a good game. And, yeah, it does the same thing where it changes.
Sweet. Anyway, that made it a little tricky, but it's a cool game. It's really hard. It's a lot harder than I thought it would be for being such a simple game. So I played that, which was cool. And I played a kick-ass board game, which I'm going to bring up because even though we are a video game podcast, Christmas time and the holiday time is family time. Maybe all your family members don't play video games. So these are cool games.
Did you play Apples to Apples?
Fuck off and die, no.
That's a fun game too.
I love Apples to Apples. It's a good game. But no, that's not what I played. Munchkin is also
good. Compared to Candyland? And Shoots with Ladders?
Shut up and I'll tell you what the fuck I play. So, I'm a Firefly fan, so this game instantly appealed to me. It's called Galaxy Trucker with a T.
I like the other version.
It's called Galaxy Trucker.
Intergalactic Gigolo.
It has three stages, and on each different, so you have three rounds, and for each round you get a bigger and bigger board that has the outline of a spaceship on it, and the outline is broken up into squares, and so there's all these tiles, and each tile has a different thing on it, either lasers, you can get a single or a double laser.
Where do they emanate from?
Where do they what?
Never mind. The lasers. Oh.
Keep going, Sage.
You guys,
everything we say, you'll never finish.
Very vagina laser Christmas.
Okay, anyway, they have single and double engines, not emanating from any body parts. They have crew pods, and they have shields. And they have, like, connector pipes. So basically, you have a timer, like an egg timer, and you go through and you get as many tiles as you can that you can use, but you have to use them. Like, you can't just hold them in your hand because someone else might want them. So you put them on the board, and you're trying to have, like, a nice even balance of all these components for your ship to protect you from different things. And then there's cards, and when the timer runs out and you all have your ships either made or like really shittily made, in which case you're in trouble, you flip the cards over and all of the cards have different, like either, it's one of three things you'll encounter basically. You're either going to encounter planets where you can go get cargo. That's another thing you get, is you get cargo bays. Or you encounter raiders, which will try and like enslave your crew, and you need lasers to try and shoot them. And if you don't have them, then they shoot your ship. And you have asteroids which come in at you, which either, depending on how well made your ship is, might just dink off or might like obliterate part of your ship. And so what you're trying to do is have a ship that's designed well enough that it can survive all this shit. And then as your ship gets bigger and bigger, it sort of gets harder and harder. Anyway, it's a not super complicated game to learn, and it's a lot of fun. And it's really funny because basically it's like bad shit happens to everybody. And by the end, you've got this like ragged, like, clump left that once was your ship that now has, like, one crew member because the rest are dead and you lost most of your cargo and you don't have any guns anymore. And it's really entertaining, not too expensive, cheaper than a video game. And another really good one you guys should check out if you like board games is Robo Rally, which they just started reprinting. It was out of print for a long time. And you're a little robot, and it's a good strategy game, and they're awesome.
Yeah, I've played Robo Rally before a long, long time ago.
Right? That's, and I always loved it. And
I'm pretty sure it's made by the same people that made Car Wars, right?
Maybe. I don't know.
Steve Jackson?
Steve Jackson did all the Munchkin games. I don't think Robo Rally is his. Munchkin's also a good line of games, but Robo Rally is like you're a little robot, and you lay out a program that your robot's going to follow. But so does everybody else, and everybody's moving at the same time. So if somebody bumps into you or shoots you or, like, some part of their program, it will move you off of where you were. So then your program, which your robot will keep following without changing, might land your robot down a pit or something. So it can get pretty complicated. Anyway, I'm just bringing up board games because I think that it's nice and useful for the holidays. And there's a great website, which is... timewellspentgames.com, and they have, I'm not kidding, it's just this warehouse in Westminster, Colorado, and these people have every single fucking board game, card game, like some card game you knew of when you were seven that doesn't exist anymore. They have it. And you
can
order.
Used to be a store in New Orleans like that, but they got flooded.
Yeah. Well, this place can't get flooded. And they're a giant warehouse full of games, so you should check them out. And the only other thing I wanted to mention, since it's the holidays, and that means Christmas presents and the like, is that Steam, which I'm sure most people know, but in case you don't, Steam is having some amazing sales, especially their package sales. I don't know if you guys know this, but there's one pack of games that's all from a particular developer that normally would be $798, and it's $70 right now. It's like 91% off.
Damn.
So if you have enough money lying around to buy like one video game, you might consider learning how to play some PC games and going to Steam, because for the price of one console game, you can get like $700 to $600 worth of games. There's a lot of packs on there right now that are like that.
Or you could play Phantasy Star Online for free.
Yeah, you could do that.
So is that all you've been playing?
Is it my turn?
Yes. That is all I've been playing. Yep.
Deagle, take us home.
All right. Jeez, I'm exhausted after all that. So, anyway. But first up, I got the new latest batch of retro titles from SNK, which includes POW, or Prisoners of War. And don't you guys love it when acronyms were spelled out in the title?
Yes.
And, Prehistoric Isle, which were both PSP.
Wait, so is that is the SNK? Is it the arcade version of POW?
Yeah, it's the arcade version, NES version.
Which is still a good game. It's just a different game.
Okay, well, okay, they're both $299, $239 for PS Plus subscribers. Now, for me, POW is really old school beat 'em up. I like me some Streets of Rage too, but this one has not aged all that gracefully. Maybe I don't have the skills I once did, but the enemies...
I can see that being the case. It's been a long time since I played POW.
Yeah, the guys just jump knife me to death all the time, so they just kind of jump at me with their knife, and there's little I can do. Occasionally, you know, I'll pick up an M16 and fire a few rounds back, but mostly I was just punching because kicking is pretty ineffective.
NES game was too.
Yeah, and then when you jump kick, when you hit both buttons at the same time, he does one of those really high kicks that is totally ineffective. You know, it has a range of like a foot
less than your punch.
Yeah, exactly. So it feels a little antiquated. So I really
antiquated?
Couldn't. Yes, that too. And I really couldn't recommend it to anyone but the most hardcore beat 'em up collector like Sean. Prehistoric Idol is more my style, though. Imagine if somebody took Gradius and then they borrowed Joe and Mac's sprite table. You'd probably have something close to the game.
Wait, did you say Prehistoric Idol? Are we talking like cave women that are going instead of
no,
as opposed to?
I'm sorry, ISLE. So there's no Paula Abdul in this one.
That's a Castlevania around then too.
That's a Castlevania reference, by the
that's
way. Yeah, you fly a biplane and it shoots these these waves of jumping dinosaurs and pterodactyls, things like that. And it's really weird. There's these occasionally you'll come across this egg that's just floating through the air. And the first time, I tried to collect it and I died because I'm used to that in shmups. But you crack it open by shooting it a few times, and then you get this gadget which allows you to fire in different types of fire in eight directions. So it's vaguely like a very primitive Radiant Silver gun, because you're switching weapons, which range from things like these arcing, you know, like Gradius bombs. You can fire waves, reflective shots. And except for you can crash into the environments, and it doesn't just scroll left to right. It moves up, down, you know, back and forth, left and right. Except for, you know, having to crash into the environments at the whim of the direction that it wants to scroll. I do like the game. It's pretty cool. It's definitely old school, but I like the hook on it. So, shmup fans, you've been notified. Prehistoric Isle, not idle. It's in here. Idle time.
Got it.
In the cheap column, because this was also pretty cheap, I picked up Cabela's Dangerous Hunt's 2211 for the PS3. It was $5, which included the game and the gun. So now I know I'm going to hear a chorus of, well, what did you expect for $5, Deagle? So let me remind you that the bundle...
You know what? $5 is worth it for the commercial they have for that game.
I haven't seen the commercial.
No. It's
is
funny.
That the one with the reindeer?
With the deer? Yeah, on the couch.
It's probably a little bit more fun than the game. But originally sold for $80, and I really feel for people that, paid the price. So when you set the thing up, you first have this IR sensor that you place either above or below your TV. It's like the Wiimote bar. And then you snap the gun and the scope together, and it comes in three different pieces. Now, if you're an idiot like me, you'll slam the stock in the receiver, you'll put the barrel on, you'll attach the scope, and then you wonder, where the fuck is the USB dongle? So despite the instructions not saying a word, I'll tell people, it's embedded in the stock. So you press the fire selector switch down, that releases the stock, and that's basically how you field strip a plastic gun. So you take it out there, and it's embedded in there. You know, you totally miss it. I spent about 15, 20 minutes looking, and I was about to get Activision send them a nasty email saying, where the fuck is my USB? Port. So after feeling like a dummy, I got it to working. I tried to calibrate the gun. I was standing. The suggestion is to be about 2 yards away. So I was standing, which was too tall, and that screwed up calibration. So I had to take a seated, firing position. And I used my chair kind of as a stabler there. And despite that, the crosshair was super jumpy. And I know my hand's a little bit steadier than that because I just set it down. It was still jumping along. So, anyway, once I got into the game, it's slightly enjoyable. Probably not as good as the commercial. You use an analog stick on the rifle. There's actually two of them, one on the side and one behind the trigger there, to move. And then you aim by aiming on screen, and you can change your firing sector by moving to the margins, to the borders of the game. There's some nonsense, in the storyline. It's about your dad. He's this hard-ass blind guy with one white eye. And something about he's bestowing the family land to you. But it's all kind of comical because right in the middle of a cutscene, he's attacked by a mountain lion. Why he's giving you this lecture, and you don't expect it because he's just, he's just kind of a nag. He's telling you, you're a low life, you're no good, and everything. And then a mountain lion comes, and you're almost cheering for the mountain lion.
So basically, he's saying you're a scrub.
Yeah, and then you got to shoot wolves, and I kind of like the wolves. I fancy myself a wolf at times, so I don't really dig shooting those. But there's some cool concepts, things like you're shooting at glowing organs when an animal attacks you, their vitals, things like that. Performance-wise, on the PS3, the game's pretty lackluster. The frame rate's all over the place. And I really don't like, you're judged at the end on your performance, on your shooting accuracy. But with the frame rate, fluctuating so much, it's not so good. But for move owners, I didn't try it out. There is alleged support for the peripheral, so I'll probably try that one out.
Alleged, yeah, right.
Well, I'll try it out because the move, I haven't had any problems with the cursor jumping around like it did here. So I don't know. The other thing I was playing a little bit was Rayman Origins, which if you remember a few weeks back, I didn't care for the XBLA demo. I think I got through 2/3 of it, and then I said, "Oh, the last one just seemed very."
I think
one
you
hit.
And I quit at the same point, right?
Yeah, there was just felt like a one hit kill, and it wasn't very fun. I really liked the shmup stage, and I have to say the actual game is much better than the initial impression that you'll get, and it is one of the best platformers of the year. The level design is incredible. The art style is amazing. Difficulty is definitely there. Ramps up rather nicely. It's not like the demo. But there is, a really liberal checkpoint system that saves the game from being too difficult. Right now it's at GameStop for $29.99. So I would recommend it if you have the slightest interest in platformers to give it a spin. Next up on my list, Trine 2. Which, my review went up today, and I liked it plenty. And one of the things that I want to talk about on the show, not so much in the review, is I'm usually kind of standoffish towards physics-based puzzlers. I think they're interesting and all, but sometimes there just isn't enough hook to carry me through the game. I'm fascinated by these Rube Goldberg-like devices and things like that, but sometimes in the game they feel really sterile. But I thought with this one, I'll probably go back and replay it during the winter break there. Hopefully, one thing I'd really like to see is, if there's a God and he listens to our podcast, a Vita version of the game, because I'd love to, kind of take this on the go, but really enjoying that. And, that's about it. All I've been playing this week.
That's it.
Oh, sweet.
Do we have an interview this week?
Yeah, but he flaked out. He was sick. He was sick. And he said... And,
yeah, I believe that. Like, I believe that...
Butter grows on trees.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, like that.
That you shoot lasers out your...
Bubble. Oh, my goodness.
Hey, now it's gotten personal.
Anything? Yeah, what the fuck, man?
But that's not personal. That's
She's
just
a
fun.
Lawyer now.
Holy crap, Batman. She has lasers firing out of her vajayjay. Biff, zip, zap.
I was talking to Sean, not you.
Oh, yeah, I actually do. I actually need to set up an appointment for that.
Why?
I thought we weren't going to talk about that on the show, but
that'd be so
guess
awesome.
Now it's out there. Public service announcement. Get your downstairs bits checked for lasers.
Totally. Do it. You never know what will pop out and ruin a nice social evening.
One of the things one of the things we want to talk about, I guess some of the readers and listeners asked, is if we could talk a little bit about, do an end-of-the-year wrap-up. And I know every podcast is going to talk about, Skyrim, Batman, Arkham City, and their best-of-the-year picks. But I thought if we could perhaps briefly talk about some of the games that were overlooked and to some degree are still worth playing, especially over, the winter break. So I do have a short list. I think Blue and I would agree Forza 4.
Definitely.
Probably
yeah,
get
that
overlooked.
Was overlooked.
Yeah. Well, no, I think it will get overlooked when it comes time to tallying up the year's best, but, for racing fans.
Yeah, maybe.
Everyone's going to pick the big three. For me personally, I think really overlooked was De Blob 2. It was pretty similar to the first, but when the first game, kicked so much ass, it was one of the few very cool family games. That's okay. Really had a lot of fun with that. I think it had a good vibe, good music, playability. It was really fun. This year, I think, personally, was the year for DLC. There were so many great downloadable games. Dungeon Defenders, yeah. Zen Pinball 2, Bastion, which you mentioned. Joe Danger put out a review, the special edition. Rock of Ages mm-hmm. is really cool. Might and Magic Clash of Heroes, originally a DS title, but very fun on consoles. Renegade Ops 2 was overlooked, and that one dropped down to, I think, about $6 or $7 right now, which if you have any interest in the twin stick shooters, check that one out.
We know you do.
I love me the twin sticks. For the 3DS, we had talked about Super Mario 3D Land and Mario Kart 7, which were, typical obligatory first party purchases. But for me, Ghost Recon Shadow Wars really scratched my turn-based itch nicely. You played that, Blue? You picked that up, right?
Yeah, I played about 4 or 5 hours of that.
That's it? What's wrong with that?
My backlog is ugly. And my backlog is really ugly. And I have a game
Everybody's backlog is ugly.
My backlog is attractive.
Yeah. Let me pull out my vagina later.
Hey, careful. That nicked my ear.
Ew. Sean,
there's
why can't
sigh.
You get into the vagina laser spirit, man?
He started.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Imagine really when that is. Refracts off a disco ball. That could be the end of the world as we know it.
Listeners, I am so sorry that our show has become about vagina laser. It's roughly 9% of what we've talked about.
Yeah.
We can all bring back the vagina lasers.
You want to hear my list?
Yes, I want
yes.
to.
All right, my list is as follows. East 1 and 2 Chronicles came out in February of this year, so I can technically still talk about that. Mm-hmm. While you're at it, check out the other East games on PSP because they are all
awesome.
Excellent. Hardcore Uprising came out this year. That was good. Is that the one I'm thinking of?
The Contra.
Yeah, that was the one I'm thinking of.
That was the
Contra
one. Yep.
Shit, I just had a bunch of them in front of me. God Eater Burst, don't bother with. Okami Den, that mm-hmm. I forgot came out this year.
That was like this is supposed to be one of the last good 3D or original DS games.
Yeah.
Was it good?
And what was Ghosts? Ghost, other Capcom DS game.
Oh, Ghost, oh shit.
Oh, Ghost,
Ghost Trick.
Ghost That's Trick, it. Yes. That, I believe, came out this year.
Yeah.
Did you play that, Sean?
I played a little bit of it, and what I played was really fun.
I heard good things about it. I didn't get a chance to play it.
I have no idea where my DS is, I'm not gonna lie.
You don't know where it is?
I have no idea where it is.
Isn't it on the top shelf, and you need to get back that little magic cloth thing to get it?
I cleaned out that closet, including the top shelf, and it was not there. So I have no idea where it is now.
Check the bathroom.
You know what
cabinet.
Happened? Somebody heard your story and was like, I'm going to steal it because nobody is going to notice because Sean doesn't care. So they went here.
I would have noticed somebody breaking into that closet because it was a fucking disaster. They would have died. I would have found them when I was cleaning the closet.
I don't know.
I actually have like one or two Nintendo 64 power adapters. I have no fucking idea where they are.
No,
well, that's
those are
less important than a
huge
power adapter.
Hmm?
You can get a power adapter anywhere.
Oh yeah, I know I have them. I just have no idea where they wandered off to.
Mm. Anyway,
I might have found one of them.
Anyway, a couple more that I just wanted to point out. Deagle, I'm surprised you didn't point out Disgaea 4.
I want to avoid stereotype.
What's up with that,
I'm not,
dude?
So I'm gonna say Space Marine. Get that game. Get it on PS3 so I have fucking people to play against.
Sean, why are you endorsing Disgaea 4? You're infringing on my territory.
I think it deserves to be looked at.
Oh, bless your soul.
Bless it.
Many times over.
Right. White Knight Chronicles 2, which was surprisingly took up a lot more of my time than I thought it would. That is a fun JRPG. Go figure. And that's pretty much all I can think of off the top of my head. Sonic Generations.
Yeah.
For me, I guess, Deagle said, Forza 4, that is definitely going to get overlooked this year. And I think
one more. Yep. X-Men Destiny.
Wasn't that supposed to be off?
It was. That was a joke.
That was an awful joke.
Did I say L.A. Noir?
Yeah, you did.
Okay, yeah, because I think that was a good one that I think people are going to forget about.
Yeah.
Really? You think L.A. Noire will have been forgotten?
I feel like we've had a very, very good holiday season, and I feel like we have very short-sighted people writing articles.
Yeah.
Huh.
But, like Deagle said, Forza 4, that's... that game truly surprised me. I kind of picked it up on a whim, really. And the game I got has just been absolutely incredible. I'm really hoping that through DLC, they'll get to night racing and maybe possibly add some weather to it. I'm not going to hold my breath, but yeah, if you have any interest in simulation racing games and even loose simulation racing games, because I think you can tweak the options to make it
loose,
quasi arcade, if you will. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you can definitely pick it up. And I'm glad to say that the last time I was at Target, I only saw one copy in, so maybe you guys are buying it. I know I think it's only like over a million.
I don't think Forza 4 has been hurting for sales, if that's your concern.
There was only one copy of U-Star at Best Buy, and I bought it, but I don't think it's blowing off the shelves.
Well, no, I'm saying I think Forza 4 has sold very well.
Yeah.
I don't think you need to worry about them making a Forza 5.
Forza 4 was, from judging by the players online, it hasn't moved quite as well as Forza 3 did.
Really?
Mm. Yeah.
Forza 4 also released right before the biggest multiplayer game of the year. The two biggest multiplayer games of the year. I feel like the Forza audience kind of intersects with the first-person shooter audience.
I might disagree with that.
I do not.
Have you guys ever noticed that right before Deagle is about to disagree, he takes that big, inhale, and he's like,
My first response is, bullshit! And then I take a deep breath.
Right, it's like you're calming the rage. You're like, I want to go... I think I do.
No, I just know a lot of people, a lot of gear.
Well, there are those car nuts. That's all they play. Mm-hmm. But I bet you, if you go and take a poll of Forza 4 owners, how many of them own Battlefield or Modern Warfare? And I bet it's a sizable amount.
I'm just talking
about
the. Why
don't we take a poll, Forza 4 owners? If you play Forza 4 and also the other games that Sean mentioned, ping this this podcast on our tech gaming website and let us know, and then we'll have a nice statistical chunk of data.
Our tech gaming website on the internet computers?
Yes, in the intertubes, you can find it. It's there.
Watch out for spiders on the interweb.
Aha, terrible.
Say
tentacles.
What?
Are you worried anything's going to get missed?
I'm worried that anything's going to get missed that you guys didn't already mention.
I know that you're worried about one of them.
Your repeating of Sean's question is my...
you know that I'm worried about one of them? What am I worried about?
Solitarobo.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, I guess
I think Diggle's more concerned for it than she is.
I feel like people who listen to our podcast and or who are interested in Japanese games are probably going to have found it. So I don't know that I'm so afraid it would get missed because there's not a huge market as it is of people who own DSs and play those games. So of those people, I think probably they did not miss it, if that makes sense. I don't know. I don't know how popular Limbo ended up being, but it's a
crazy popular.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I just ran into a bunch of people who had only just played it and were like, "Oh my god, that was great!" And it's like, "Yes, it was great. You should have played it 6 months ago."
Wow, did Limbo really come out this year? I thought Limbo came out last year.
No, it was beginning of August this year.
Oh wow, this has been a long year.
It has been.
Yeah.
Well, to put it in perspective, Mass Effect 2 came out this year.
Damn.
Well, for PS3, it came out this year. It was out end of last year.
No, no, right. But that's, I mean, I remember it being like it was forever ago.
That does feel like a while back.
From Dust.
Capcom came out this year twice.
That's true. I don't know if people got into From Dust much or not, but I think it was worth playing.
I didn't from the demo. The demo really turned me off.
I think that the main game played a lot better than the demo.
Yeah, okay. I wanted to like it. I love the concept and everything, but it just felt way too rule-oriented.
Rune Factory might get overlooked.
Rune Factory is a good... Yeah. I love the first one, and I have...
Only because Natsume is never sends us anything anymore.
That's true.
Yeah, what's up with that?
I don't know. They invite us every year, E3. I go on conference calls. I spend
they gave me a llama, and they make me sit through fucking demos of Ghastly Ghouly, whatever the hell her name is.
Gabriel.
Every year.
Gabriel.
Yeah, Gabriel's Ghastly.
Every year, it's the same thing.
Dance game.
Ghastly Sean? Vagina lasers.
She's got them.
No way.
No, they are DLC. Underage. That is gross, Sage.
That's DLC.
Right, I'm gross because I finally bring it up once, but you guys, you get a free card. Fuck off. No way.
Children vagina lasers.
Oh, Jesus. See, I didn't make it about children. You did. I said, you said vagina lasers. You said children vagina lasers. That's terrible.
This is a Japanese game? Then it's okay. It's perfectly okay.
Oh, no. What are we doing with ourselves? Pokemon okay, Black and White.
Moving on.
Under first underrated year.
We're moving on.
A single award.
We're moving on. No, I don't really. I think that those are the only things that maybe I would think would get overlooked, but in general, I feel like we had a lot of good stuff come out that people were pretty aware of. We had a lot of crap come out that people rightly ignored. And I would say that I think that what does get overlooked every year, which if people, you know, are feeling like checking out something new and different is indie games on the PC. I think that always gets overlooked, and you know, a lot of those games are totally easy enough to play even if you are not familiar with PC controls. So
you know those the IndieFest Space Invaders that they put up in Culver City? They're still there and they are looking kinda rough.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, they're getting torn up.
It's not easy being an invader, especially
it's
one
really
from space.
Not. It's rough. It's a rough life.
Hey, Deagle. Yes, Eagle, sir. What's that over next to your chair? That sort of bag looking thing.
Dreamcast.
Oh. is there mail in it?
No, but there's trivia.
Oh, trivia Dreamcast.
Nice. You know, actually, I did look over and there is a Dreamcast next to me. So you made me look.
Is it hooked up?
Dreamcast.
No, I had to unhook it for Skylanders. Because
speaking of Skylanders,
so trivia time. You guys ready?
Yes.
Okay, number one, although Xbox owners got to take Sonic CD out for a spin last week, PS3 owners had to wait an additional 6 days for the opportunity. Not too long of a wait, considering that non-Sega CD-owning gamers and PC players have had a chance to time travel with Blue since the game's original release. How long has it been? A, 14 years, B, 16 years, C, 17 years, or D, 18 years? since?
18 years ago would have been what year?
I'm not doing the math for you, sir.
I think it is 18 years.
It is 18.
Blue?
Let's see. What was it 16 years or... what were the...
14, 16, 17, and 18.
I think I'll go with 17.
Correct answer. Yeah, she's legal. She's 18.
Came out before Sonic 3.
Hmm.
Number two.
That's probably why it was $5 on Xbox Live, because it's kind of technically a Genesis era game.
Well, the Sega CD plugged into the Genesis.
They might have charged a little bit. You thought they might have charged a little bit more for it.
It's a lot of data. Yeah, I thought so. Because of the file size and how rare it was, and I don't know if... I think they even charged more for Sonic 1 and 2 at one time, at release.
Did they? I wasn't sure. That's kind of what I was thinking, is if they were keeping the pricing in line with Sonic the Hedgehog 1 and 2.
Hmm. Anyway, number two, speaking of Sonic CD, which two characters were introduced with the optical disc-based version of the game? A, Vector the Crocodile and Mighty the Armadillo. B, Espio the... Chameleon and Charmy B, C, Metal Sonic and Amy Rose, D, Orbot and Silver the Hedgehog.
Dude, you're killing me.
C.
Okay, I'm killing you how?
Because names are like the hardest thing for me, and you have thrown out 8 fucking names that I'm supposed to try and recognize something out of.
Sage. Terrible. Sage.
What?
Who's on the cover of Sonic CD?
Sonic.
Grant's tomb. Correct answer: Metal C. Sonic and Amy Rose.
Yeah, I win.
Hooray. That's what you thought.
That's what I thought.
You're the worst.
All right, number three. Who knew Sonic
That's
was
what
so?
I said with C.
Yes, number three. Who knew Sonic was so damn depressed? Performing one of these tasks will instantly end the game, regardless of how many lives the player has. A, finding a future post when it is hidden within a future level. B, leaving Sonic alone for 3 minutes unpaused. C, forcing Sonic to perform his edge animation for more than 30 seconds. Or D, finishing Stardust Speedway without collecting a single ring, although losing Snatch rings won't trigger this event.
I think it's if you leave him alone. You're saying if you leave him alone unpaused?
Correct.
Yeah, I think it's that one.
I'll agree.
We're talking about Sonic. Just
I feel like that's true, too, because I feel like they would want to keep the motor from spinning out of control.
Right.
Correct answer. Spinning out of control, all you guys. Let Yay. It be. Good job,
yeah.
guys.
Yeah.
Okay, number four. The recently released XBLA and PSN versions are perfect copies of the game, except for which two changes? Okay, so listen up, there's two of them. A, Sonic, You Can Do Anything, and Cosmic Eternity, Believe in Yourself, have been replaced by instrumental versions, as the rights to the lyrics belong to Casey Rankin, who passed away in 2009. B, boss music included samples from Bootsy Collins, George Clinton's Work That Sucker to Death. Since a new royalty contract negotiation could not be reached, the song is excluded. C, elimination of the backup save in the original version, replaced by a save on each level feature. Or D, or Andy, Tails is an unlockable character obtained by completing the game.
Oh, fuck.
I think it's A and C. I haven't heard anything about Tails yet.
Yeah. So I have to pick two of the four that you said.
Correct.
I think I'll go with A and B.
Okay. Oh my god, what was that?
That's me whining because I don't know the fucking answer. I think... I think...
Don't cry.
Tails, so tricky. D, right? Because I think Tails is an unlockable thingy. And what was A, B, and C? I'm sorry, it's so many words. It's hard for me to keep track.
Okay, the two songs. Sonic, You Can Do Anything, Cosmic Eternity. Boss Music... Also a song, and C, elimination of the backup save.
I say they got rid of the song thingy because the person not there anymore.
Okay, so you're saying Andy?
Yeah.
Okay, you are correct. A-N-D.
Yay!
Yes.
Yeah, I looked it up while she was answering. I was like, no, dude.
Cheater. You're a cheater.
Oh, no, it was after I answered, and then I was like,
you're still a dirty cheater.
Okay. He answered it wrong. How did he cheat?
He looked it up while I was still in play. Who just snorted?
Me.
Backfire.
I'm a nerd.
This week sees the release of the PS1 classic version of Centipede, designed by Richard Roos III. What other Midway title is the developer famous for? A. The Suffering. B. Joust 2 Survival of the Fittest. C. Mace the Dark Age. Or D. NHL 2-on-2 Open Ice Challenge.
I'm going to go with Mace.
I'm going to go with Mace as well.
The last one?
NHL on Ice 2-on-2.
You're just keep moving along. Correct answer, you're all wrong. The Suffering.
Shit.
Ah, crap.
Suffering. Yes.
That's how I feel about these trivia
Mace
questions.
Was Mace that fighting game for N64?
He was that 90s rapper also. Yes. With the dollar sign for his name. Long before.
Oh, that's what I thought. Cool.
Okay. So let's move to mailbag. We got some questions.
I have a bonus question this week.
Oh, the back of the box quote. That's right. Okay.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, yeah.
This week's Blues bonus question is the cat's meow.
What did I say about the Dick Clark voice?
Well, I'm not talking post-strokey, but, you know. Get lost in Cleopatra's pyramids, but find lots of mummified mice is a back-of-the-box quote from which one of these games starring a feline? A, Cats with a Z6. B, Garfield caught in the act. C, Pink Panther, Pink Goes to Hollywood. Or D, Bubsy 2.
I'm going to say Garfield caught in the act.
I don't think it was Bubsy 2. Wait, Bubsy. That was the one you had a crush on, right, Sage?
Yes.
Yes. I think I own Bubsy. I'm going to have to go with Garfield 2.
Yeah, Garfield.
Cleopatra, because there's a lot of fat jokes in Garfield. He's a lazy cat.
Well, and I think Caught in the Act's the one where he's like sucked into his TV.
And you would be correct. All of you. Perfect. Perfectly. Yay. Perfect bonus.
Sean should lose one for knowing the plot line of Garfield Caught in the Act.
and
not mixing him up with Heathcliff.
I had the Heathcliff cartoon song stuck in my head the other night.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I remember Heathcliff. I think I liked it better, but only when I got old enough to realize all the jokes in it.
That's the way it usually works.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And the subtle nuance of Scooby-Doo.
So Yanzi wanted us to ask something.
What do you want, Yanzi?
You want to know what happened to Stephen Totello, and why he's not a good writer anymore now that he's with Kotaku. I'm gonna let Yanzi in on a little secret, little internet secret. It's called copywriting, and a lot of websites use it. And the point of copywriting is that there's a unified voice over a company or website or what have you, and they actually hire copywriters to make sure that everything goes out has a unified voice. And Stephen Totello was hired by Kotaku because he was recognized, and now everything he writes has to be copywritten to make sure it sounds like it's a Kotaku article and not a Stephen Totello article. And he's probably getting paid enough that he doesn't care.
Sean, why do they have porn stars write about games then?
They could, but they're not as known in this particular community. They do, actually. IGN does. They bring what's her name from Playboy, and Playboy has an article that's all it is.
No. They've had porn stars that review games on Kotaku. They talk about it.
We need
some porn stars on our side.
But Stephen Totello is probably a fine writer. He's copywritten now, so he is not writing articles anymore. Kotaku is writing articles. He just happens to be the one who puts his name on it because he's
Tom Clancy.
Oh, Jesus. Don't mention Tom Clancy and that fucking travesty that is the current Splinter Cell games.
Wow. What happened to the holiday hate?
I'm sorry. I forgot.
There was a lapse there.
Wonderful time of the lasers. Yeah.
Go eat some mistletoe. Go eat some mistletoe and come back.
I'm sorry. I'll be all about the gooey mistletoe dripping on your face. It's fine.
Speaking of gooey mistletoe, doctor in the house? Desires asked.
I like the transition.
Why couldn't Ubi have given Obama a free copy of Just Dance 3? They're French.
I wrote that.
My answer to that is because if you saw the president getting free shit while our economy is still struggling, wouldn't you be pissed?
Plus, it's like in promotion. It's like the president thought so much of Just Dance 3 that he went out to Best Buy himself and bought the game. Don't you want to buy it too? Because the president bought it.
I like the quote. He got an F all the time, and he blamed it on his lack of maneuverability. No, that's just the game. It's unresponsive as hell. Everybody gets an F.
Also, I can tell you from my company that I've talked to a lot of people who've tried to give stuff to the White House, and it is very difficult. It is a lot easier just to sell them stuff.
Yeah. And I think that there is something about it that, like, you know, the appropriate thing is, like, you sort of offer, but then the president's like, no, I'm going to go buy this because I want to support our economy. I think Witcher 2 being given to him was sort of a unique situation because it was, like, diplomatic, another country.
Well, no, Ubisoft is French, too, but...
Well, yeah, but it's not, I mean,
also,
I guess.
Also, Witcher 2 is given to the president?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was a surprise.
He went to go, you guys didn't know that? He went to go visit, and they gave him a free, like, the special collector's edition copy.
Is that the one with the boobies?
Like, the book and that came with the book and everything, the, like, art book that I got at E3. Came with that and a bunch of other stuff. They gave it to him as they're like, hello, President, thank you for coming to see us. Here is Witcher 2. We are so proud.
Wait, the country gave it to him, or he actually went to the company?
No, the country gave it to him.
Okay, well, that's just like Norway right now has all their senators take a course in Norwegian death metal. Because that is a major export, and so they want them to be very well versed in it.
Wow. Cool.
Really?
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, so there
might
you go.
As well learn to speak Simish.
Iceman asks, "How was your holiday game shop? Or how has your holiday game shopping been going?" Deagle, you mentioned some disappointing. You mentioned some disappointed Black Friday deals. Did it get any better for you?
No. Best Buy's had some really awesome deals, but it hasn't always come through. $5 games here and there, order them in store pickup, they can't find them. So it's been disappointing, but really good deals if you can score them. I think the staff of my Best Buy likes to go out back and smoke the herb and lose games.
And play with vagina lasers.
Yeah.
I did the in-store pickup for a couple of things, and one of them was Dissidia Final Fantasy for the PSP. Mm. And when I was at
if
the
you
counter,
mention
I
that
noticed...
other one, I'm going to be so mad at you.
The Which one?
On sale yesterday. I won't mention
You mean
it.
The one for $5, the first one?
Yes.
Yeah, that was the one. Sorry,
what was it for those of us who weren't paying attention the other day? Because we...
Yeah, it was Dissidia Final Fantasy for the PSP. It was on sale yesterday for $5,
What was the other one?
MotorStorm Apocalypse.
Oh, MotorStorm Apocalypse is going to be part of one of those $10 sets in a couple months. So don't quit your whining.
But, when I...
I feel better now. Sean puts me in my place.
It's like when I was picking up the games, I noticed that they actually... pulled aside Dissidia Duodecim, the sequel.
Oh, awesome.
Thing happened to
Jeremy Lamont.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, the sequel's probably better, but War Conscience, do I knowingly accept the one?
Yes, you knowingly accept it, because
the answer is yes.
Get later on.
Well, I went back and checked, and they did have the original one, and, my conscience got the best of me.
You're the worst human being. Sage, you are no longer the worst.
Yay!
You were the worst.
Yeah. I'm a good human being.
You know what I've learned from living in L.A. is if you have a conscience, the government is going to charge you $1,000. That is what I learned.
$1,000? How did you arrive at that figure?
Because I 30%. Did not lie like the DMV tells you you're supposed to do.
Oh, okay.
And I told them how long I had been here.
That's because I reported you.
I'm kidding.
I went to the DMV to get my car registered, and they asked how long I had been in California. And what you're supposed to do is say, I just showed up yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But instead I said, I've been here 3 years. And they said, oh, well, you were supposed to register your car as soon as you cross the state line. That'll cost $1,000. And I was like,
No way, really?
Looks like my car is going into storage.
Yes.
Oh, crap.
Firearms are the same way.
Did they note you in the computer? Can you like go back months from now and be like,
I
just
got it.
They have
a file for me now, and it's on my VIN number. They don't tell you how much it's going to cost until they've taken your VIN number and verified your car and everything.
You should have lied.
I've learned that you should never be honest ever again.
You really shouldn't. That's terrible.
You guys don't even know my real name.
I know your real name.
I think it's Shugiwov.
It's Vagina Laser.
Shugiwov does have a question.
Why do you think Skylanders wasn't the must-have game/toy that everyone was predicting?
Toys R Us said it was the hottest game of the season.
I think it was.
Toys R Us says a lot of shit.
I don't think anyone was predicting that. I think the big story there was it did way better than anybody thought it was going to do.
Yeah, I'll admit, I went into a couple stores looking for some of the Skylanders figures, and I was really surprised that most stores I went into, there was like one or two of the ones that, you know, everybody has.
What's funny is the GameStop that I went to pick up Marvel vs. Capcom, and I also picked up Saints Row the Third for my little brother. They had one copy of Skylanders left for the PS3, and they said it was only up there because, you know, as busy as it is, it was on this... They've got this sort of really high display shelf by the register at this GameStop.
No one can reach it.
And that's where it was, yeah. And they couldn't get a step stool out there to reach it because the lines were so long.
Can they throw an empty game box up and knock it down?
Well, somebody had jumped up there because it's knocked over, but it's still up on the shelf.
Michael Jordan owns it.
Somebody had obviously tried to get it down.
I don't know, Scott. I haven't put anything into it just because I don't have the system for it, and it's not something I can afford to get into right now.
It works on PC.
And it works on Xbox 360.
No, I know. Sorry. What I more meant is I don't have the...
Portal of power.
Yes. No. I don't have the capacity right now to be playing it more is what I meant. And also I have a new kitten. And if I leave little action figures around, he will probably chase them and eat them. So there's that. But no, I think it's a really cool thing. I dreamed about something like this when I was a little kid, that you would have some little magical thing that you put little like figures onto and then they're in the game. Like I was thinking about that when I was like 7 or 8. I was like, this would be the coolest thing ever. Too bad video games aren't actually like that. And now they are like that, and that's really exciting, except that I'm not a huge Spyro person, but I would get into it. But it's a lot of money after you buy like the game and all the action figures and all that.
When you were talking about your new edition, I kept thinking of the thread about the love child, I have to admit.
We have a thread about a love child?
Yeah.
We do? Who did I have a love child with? I have a love child?
Speak up.
What?
Sean.
What?
I have a love child with Sean?
You have a love child?
Yeah.
Is it me?
I don't remember this.
Somebody was referencing Baby Pac-Man in the last cover art.
I think I only got the first two posts on that. I'll have to look that up after the show.
Yeah, it's funny stuff.
Wait, Sean and I have a love child?
Yep.
Yeah, and it's me.
Where do we have a love child?
According to the listeners, it's me, but the fact is in the Pac-Man cover art...
Whoa, the listeners don't get to retcon our origin story.
Yeah.
I was bit by a radioactive Dreamcast. Sage was, when she turned 13, started to develop mutant powers.
Okay,
Blue's mom was exposed to a nuclear reactor while she was pregnant. My poor mom. One of those is actually true, and it's Blue's.
Nice. I wasn't aware I had a love child. I must be a really negligent mother. This is why I should not have children.
Yes.
Mommy, how could you forget me?
Because you're so ugly and stupid.
Yeah.
But the listeners, if you don't want Sage to be a terrible mother anymore, you should send her mothering tips on Twitter. You can find her on Twitter via her Twitter tag name thing, which is @Samurage. If you want to give any of us if you want to give the rest of us tips on parenting, you can tell Robert @tech_gaming, me @SeanNola with 2 N's that stand for Numerine Holidays, or you can follow Blue Swimmer out, and yes, it is.
Yeah, you can see me dressed up as a Christmas tree for my profile picture for the holidays.
I was wondering what that was, but he is @BlueSwim, which would be pretty easy to remember because that's his name, his real name, which his mom, those are the words that his mom Tourette-ified when she got too close to the reactor.
from Chernobyl?
If you want to read about what we have to say about video games, you can find that on www.tech-gaming.com. That is our internet website, as Sage called it. Also subscribe to this podcast on iTunes if that's not already listening to it.
We have
just remember there are two
new art, and be sure to put it in the RSS feed.
It's not really new anymore, but do be aware of the fact that there are two Tech Gamings on there, and they're both us, but only one of them has new shows. So make sure you get the one that has 9-5 in it. Thank you for listening. I am Sean. That is Robert. That is Sage. That is Aaron. We are.
Hey, I'm Eric! I'm Eric! Nobody can remember my name!
Said something with an ah sound. We call you Blue. When do we ever use your actual name?
Never.
Never.
Probably not. Just Blue.
Happy holidays, guys.
Happy
Merry
holidays!
Christmas.
Enjoy the shit out of it.
Don't drink and drive on the New Year's.
Yeah, definitely no.
But kiss a lot of people and then play some video games.
Yeah. And toilet water is the new Evian.
Shit, after I kiss people on New Year's, I'm going to bed.
Weird.
Hopefully. Hey, you wish. You wish.
Good. Oh, I see. Now I see my love child.
That was a good show. I enjoyed that show. I'm going to have to cut out a lot of vagina lasers, though. We ran that
leave the vagina
so far.
Lasers in. We'll start
I can't
meeting.
Leave all of them in because we ran that into the ground.
I know, but it's not
whatever.
Important.